welcome back to Is It Crazy or Is It God?
Yes, welcome back, guys.
Welcome back. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but we are back.
It's been a couple months, so we ended up the 2022 year. You know, we had to travel. We came back, we got sick. Yeah. And then we celebrated the holidays with our families and stuff like that. So, yeah. A lot has happened, but we are back. Yeah. Back like we never left. So, we're jumping right back in. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but we basically reread where we left off. We were, I think we filmed a study, like, session on what we're about to talk about today. Mm-hmm. And then we just decided to go back and just reread it. So, like, we'll be fresh in our minds. So, anyway, with that said, how was your, I'll say, week? How was your end of your year leading up to this week?
It was very interesting because we moved, right? That was a big, big jump. My cousin got married.
Yes.
That was
beautiful.
That was nice. It was in Pittsburgh. And it's so interesting because we drove up, the trees were green, and on the way back, we saw them like orange. It was like crazy. It's like we saw the changing of the guard in real time. But it was a good time spending time with family. It was wonderful. Then we came back and we both got sick. I mean that time of year is flu season, so you know, we weren't the only people sick, you know. But it happened. It was around October. So, and then December came. We spent time with family. This Thanksgiving, I was a little down. So I usually grill. I usually smoke a turkey, and I missed that. So, but don't worry, I'll be back.
Don't worry, everyone.
I'll be back.
Everyone's so worried about your smoked turkey.
Smoked turkey, man. We spent time. We ate good. We did a TikTok. It was like a film production.
Listen, when you work with professionals, professional work must be done.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Earl. You know, Bowie State nephew. He had the whole setup. I was like, all right, it's the first time me doing a TikTok.
It was great.
It's not the first time, but it is like dancing. And
Doing a TikTok dance.
It was fun. You know, it was like 15, 17, 20 takes, but it worked out. I was off beat. Then I realized 98% of people are off beat. The ones that aren't off beat are black women. They and Beyonce are like in tune.
Yeah, they're in tune,
right? So I don't feel as bad. So that was good. And then Christmas, oh man, it was just a wonderful Christmas. We were just blessed, and we spent time with family. And then this new year, I wanted to dedicate. So I always talk about consistency, and I'm going to be transparent. Last year, I wasn't as consistent as I wanted to be. You know, I started going to the gym, and I stopped as soon as I got sick. I was in the gym for about 3 months. So this year, I've dedicated to waking up early, connecting more with God, connecting more with myself, you know, focus on reading. And this past week was great because I woke up early for 4 days. So I'm pretty happy, and I'm looking forward to continuing it. You know, I feel better. Sometimes I would just get up and like get right into work mode. But, you know, working out, meditating, connecting more with God is, it's a little uncomfortable. Because I'm so used to waking up and getting right into the rat race, as they call it. But this kind of like, you know, no negative things when I first wake up. It's humbling. It's kind of like I'm just trying to connect with God more spiritually. And then, you know, being in the gym, I was sore. It felt good, but it didn't. But I was sore as a mug. So I'm looking forward to it, you know, just building upon that and, you know, going from 4 to 5 days, 5 to 6 days a week of me, you know, staying on schedule. So that's how my time went. I really enjoyed it, actually. And this week I kind of, which is it's an interesting week, but it was good that we read the Bible in the morning time. We stuck to it. So I'm just keep looking for the consistency. That's it.
I love it. Well, that's I'm it. So glad. Now, it's so funny. I just realized while you were talking, we talk a lot about like waking up early. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it directly correlates with how my week goes, right? It's like, if you ask me about my week, the times, it's so parallel. It's like, if I woke up, you know, just around 7 and kind of like tottered around, got ready for work, right? Like my week, if that's how my week went, if I woke up like after 7, then it wasn't that great of a week. Like I just didn't get a lot done. And my days were probably more, tumultuous, but like they were probably more challenging because I didn't have that time in the morning. It's something about getting up in the morning, right, around like at least by 5:30, and having that time where nobody's looking for you, nobody needs anything from you, and you get the time to just kind of like have your thoughts, you know, just drink some water. Like for us, we do like gratitude in the morning, we do Bible reading, Bible study, and sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just write out all the things that I'm grateful for and like what I, you know, I'm looking forward to by the end of the day, and like, you know, what I'm looking forward to having accomplished, right? So it's kind of like a, you know, today is going to be so great, you know, and just thinking about what I would be thinking at the end of the day, like, today went great, this happened, that happened, this was right on par, da 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 da. Sometimes when I do that, it just really gives me some power over the day, so I'm not just like reacting to things, and that's really what I'm trying to say, is that it directly correlates. Waking up early directly correlates with how my day goes. And if my days go well, then my week goes well.
Yeah.
Right? And I get to get more done, feel more, you know, accomplished. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I just wanted to say that because I think we talk a lot about like, oh, I woke up early or I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of like answering the question that I asked you about how the last part of my year went. Mm-hmm. Versus like this first week of 2023, the end of 2022 went okay. Like I think the year itself was successful.
Yeah.
But the end of it was kind of like a coming to realization of like, you know, everybody like reflects on their year, makes their New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. We didn't necessarily make resolutions. We just made like goals that are midterm and long term, like this is where I see myself, this is my identity that I see myself in, and this is how I'm going to work towards it, right? Like, so we're basically about building like systems and habits, right? But towards the end of the year, it gave me a reflection period of like what I hope to continue and what I hope to discontinue or replace with better habits.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt, you know, there were times where I prioritized other things over like Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially just like closing out the year, it's like work, it's holidays, like you're trying to do all these things. And for me, I didn't benefit. I mean, like I got all my work done, but I didn't benefit from skipping those mornings. And I felt completely off track with my workouts. I, you know, if I'm going to be honest, now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like I just felt my way through the dark for the last quarter of 2022. Like, I did, it's funny because, like, I did really good at my job. Like, I did really good, like, plotting and planning, and I put a lot of energy into that. Mm-hmm. But, like, as far as myself and, like, my life is concerned, like, I was trying things, I was doing things, but I don't really feel like it was, like, with some holistic purpose, and I didn't do as well as I could have. Mm-hmm. Having identified those things and the plans that we have moving forward. So I'm really excited about this year. I think this last week went well. You said that keyword consistency. Mm-hmm. Consistency is really about, you know, doing every day, you know, in a consistent way. I hate to use the same
repetition
word. Yeah, it's about doing what you're doing now and being in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then just repeating it. Mm-hmm. So all in all, the end of my year was not as great as the beginning of this year is about to be, but I saw what happens when you don't pour into yourself in the mornings. I saw what happens when you don't prioritize Bible study. Like, I'll do my memory verses and I'll do my own little mm-hmm. self-study, but I wasn't like reading like in context. Mm-hmm. I was just like looking for certain things. Mm-hmm. Right. And I found those things and they were useful, but it's something about just like sitting down and not having any interruption. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is the time for us to read. Mm-hmm. So I really have enjoyed that. And I forgot how good it feels.
Yeah, man. It's nothing like waking up early when it's dark. It's nothing like it, man.
It is. It's so funny, too, because it says in the Bible, God says, bring your requests to me in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to find what verse that is. But it's in the Bible. Bring your request to me in the morning. And then there's a certain couple of times that I remember where, like, Moses and others, like, went to, like, and I think Jesus had a point, too. Mm-hmm. It's like they left camp in the morning or whatever, wherever the people were, and they went, like, maybe to the water or on a mountaintop to mm-hmm. pray. Mm-hmm. And it's in the morning. Like, it says that. And I wonder what that's about. Is it the hope for the day? Is it the quiet time that there's not a lot of activity? Like, I don't know what the significance of it is, but
Maybe it's the first, you look for him the first thing. Maybe.
Bring your request to him in the morning. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyway. So, guys, this week, like I said, mm-hmm. we reread mm-hmm. what we ended off on. And you'll have to just bear with us because I do believe that we recorded this episode, like this, with this reading. Mm-hmm. And so I can't remember if what we said anything about it, but we're just probably going to repeat some things because mm-hmm. It hit me one way then, but this time we were reading it, I definitely got more out of it. Mm-hmm. So, and the way this is us chopped up is like, you know, for the most part, as we're reading through this and we're using the teachsundayschool.com daily Bible reading plan, as we read through it, it's most of the time it's by book in order. Yeah. So it's like we came off of reading 1 Samuel 9 through 12, then 1 Samuel 13 through 14, then 15 through 17. You see, like, it's just like continuing. Mm-hmm. But this time when we read, it has us reading Psalms, jumping around to different Psalms, mm-hmm. and then it has us go back and read 1 Samuel 25 through 27, and then we're jumping back to different Psalms. So it's mm-hmm. a little difficult to keep up with this, but I will definitely list in the description box all of the different, like, books we were reading. It's not like, read Psalms 1 through 7, mm-hmm. now read 8 through 15, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not like that. It's like, I'll just say the first one is we read Psalm 7, 27, mm-hmm. 31, 34, and 52. Mm-hmm. Like, we read them like that. We didn't, like, read them, you know what I mean? Like, we read them. So, for that reason, I just want to say it'll be in the description box. But, first of all, about Psalms overall.
Yeah.
Right? What are your takeaways? I mean, like, we haven't read the entire Psalms, but from what the studies that we've done, What are your thoughts?
So, with the studies that we've done, we found out that Psalms are prayers to God. Like, mm-hmm. it kind of teaches you how to pray and what to pray for. Mm-hmm. And the Psalms that we've already started reading What stands out to me is this is the part that David was fleeing from Saul.
Yeah.
And he was praying to God in the midst of all this turmoil he's going through in life. He was still praying to God. He's in the cave. He's, you know, in the forest.
Yeah.
And Saul is trying to kill him. And he's still praying to God. You know, some of the verses are talking about, for instance, number 7 is, you know, I take refuge, deliver me from my pursuers. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about having faithfulness in God and believing that God, you know, taking away his fear and believing that God can save him. He's not worried about what's going on. Let me say this. He knows what's going on around him, but he's praying to God to assist him with it. So he's not really worrying what's going on. He is aware, but not worried.
I don't know. I kind of get that, but I only disagree slightly.
Yeah,
but it's okay to disagree. Like, yeah, we all going to get what we get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was worried at certain points, and he was at it, but he never lost his faith,
mm-mm,
right? He never said, God, why are you doing this to me?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, I think at certain points he thought, like, I could die. Like, what if they catch me, right? Like, because, like James said, this is like in First Samuel, you know, there's all these things that are happening to him, and Saul is kind of like hating on him, and he's got his armies like looking for him, and they're trying to
hating for no reason,
and they're trying to off the guy, right? And so, but David, this is funny. David is a musician and a poet, and he does other things too. It's so warrior. Psalms is almost like, David didn't write all of the Psalms. Mm-mm. He wrote a lot of them.
Yeah.
But this is like the soundtrack to what he's going through in First Samuel. I don't know how long his you know, like, life goes in the Bible. Like, James knows a lot more about it than I do. But this is like the soundtrack to the story of David. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me because as he's experiencing things that are happening in 1 Samuel, he's also writing prayers to God, and he's like, you know, talking about what he's experiencing. And the Psalms later went on to be songs that choir sang. I can't remember which choir they said, you know, but
yeah,
I know there is a lot of songs, gospel records that came out of these words too. So
yeah,
but what I realize is that, you know, the overarching thing, and we're going to get into this when we talk about the questions, but the overarching thing to me is like, suffering is not new, right? Like, everybody suffers, and like, this is probably the most dire circumstance. Somebody's looking to kill you, right? And you didn't even do anything. It's not even like you feel like, you know, like you did something and now somebody's coming to make the score even. It's like you didn't do anything. Somebody's trying to kill you for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And all you can do is pray. Like, you know, I would imagine that's pretty, you know, that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really run and hide that far. Mm-mm. It's like you just gotta be faithful.
Yeah.
And there were some instances where they really could have gotten him. And I remember kind of going back when he was still there, and Saul's son was there, and that was his friend. Like, Saul was trying to kill him then.
Yeah.
You know, and he it just didn't work out. So it's like, I would imagine, like, this is the most dire circumstance. Yeah. Like, I go through stuff, I'm going through stuff, and I think, like, you know, sometimes I think of, like, work is my enemy, not the actual, like, atmosphere, but the actual, like, work. Like, oh, I have to enter in all this data. Yeah. I have to, like, send back all these messages.
Yeah.
I have to, you know what I'm saying? I think of this sometimes in my mind, like, work is the enemy.
Yeah.
And I pray my way through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's so fickle next to what he was going through. But it could just be any situation that you're going through in life, right? And it's like to be able to look back at what he was saying to God and how he was going through the most difficult, one of the most difficult things. Was somebody trying to take his life, and he had the wherewithal to still praise God, to express how he felt, but then still say, but God, I know you're with me, right? Yeah. That's my overall takeaway. So anyway.
Yeah. I agree.
So,
You ready for the question?
Sure.
All right. It says, think of words that describe David in these Psalms. I guess we just answered.
And they're speaking of Psalm 7, 27, 31, 34, and 52.
Yeah.
Words that describe David. Brave.
Yeah.
Disagreeing with you, I say he was afraid.
Okay. Let me see.
Confused.
Yeah.
Because in Psalm 7, 3, he says, oh Lord my God, if I have done this, if there's injustice in my hands, right? If I've done evil to him who was at peace with me, or without cause robbed him. So he's like, if I've done anything, I don't think I've done anything, but if I've done anything, please, you know, let them pursue me and overtake me. And then he's, I mean, he's obviously hopeful.
Yeah, like to 27, he said, the Lord, 27:1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yeah, that's a song. I mean, like that. I mean, this is a song.
So I think, you know, so I think it's, you can say courage. He had courage.
Yeah.
He had, he was fearless. Because it seems like he was telling the Lord, like, you know, because I believe in you, I'm not worried about my enemies. Because I know that you'll take care of it.
I would also say he was well versed, because in Psalm 27:8, he called on the word of God. This is another thing that I think is interesting, because as I read the Bible more and I have more study time and I have more understanding of, like, what God does and what he's done in the past, right? And, like, God is the same now as he is then and forever, right? Now that I have that understanding, it's, like, easier for me to believe that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Whereas, let's say, 10, 15 years ago, you know, not like I was running the streets, but before I was really, like, serious about studying the Bible, like, that I would just go through things, still believing in God, but not being able to, like, call on the word of God.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you're just making it up, right? And you're just like, God, please help me with this. And you really don't have any, like, proof in your mind that it's going to work out, other than, you know, knowing that God is going to help his people. But it's like, when David in 27:8 says, he calls on the word of God. He's like, when you said, seek my face in prayer, require my presence. Like, he's saying what God has said. And that right there is like proof. It's like insurance. It's like when you go up to the counter with your paperwork in your hand and you're like, listen, I'm coming to redeem my, you know what I'm saying? Like my prize or whatever. So it's like, it's so much easier when you have the word of God to be able to be prayerful and faithful. Cause it's like, you're praying your prayer, but then you also are using evidence.
Yeah. So to hone in on that point, I think it is, you know, a different thing of when you, and I hear pastors say this, and I used to be this person. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm far from it. I'll tell you that right now. That's why I try not to judge people, because you never know what they've been through or where they're going.
Yeah.
So, but when he calls on the word of God, so it's kind of like a difference of, we used to be there, right? Where you just go to church on Sunday, you read what the pastor gave you, and you're going through hardships in life, and you're praying to God, but you're not reading the Bible every day. So you're
for yourself,
regularly. Regularly, right? Because when you start reading the Bible, you start knowing how to pray. because it's teaching you. And then you could drop receipts. Like, Lord, you said I can call on you on any time and I'm not to be fearful of my enemies because of this. You know, and when you're not in the Bible, when you're not reading, then I don't want to say you don't take it seriously, but
I mean, you're missing out.
You're missing out. Yeah, it's kind of like with anything, right? You want to be a good entrepreneur, you read books, right? If you want to be a good person, I think you read what your religion is in. You know, I believe in the Bible, so I read it. But if you are, you know, Muslim, or if you read the Torah or the Quran, just read it. You know, believe in what you believe in, and read it. Uh-huh. Don't, you know, squander it, because it's information and knowledge to help you in life.
And just, you know, kind of as a continuance of that, it's interesting because when you were giving the examples about, like, how we used to go to church and just not read the Bible, like, that's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And then, but it's also easy to read the Bible too, right?
Yeah.
But it's like when you have a trainer. Like, you have a trainer and you go to the trainer and you're like, yeah, man, I'm working out hard today because I want to see these results. And the trainer's like, cool, we're going to do these reps and these sets. Mm-hmm. And you work out with the trainer and you go eat a cheeseburger and cookies. Yeah. And you don't do your cardio on the days that you don't meet with your trainer. It's going to come out later that, you know, you're not getting results. And I feel like that's so funny because that's how a lot of people do. That's how we used to do it. It's just like, oh, you just go and read whatever is up there on the screen and, you know, be holy for Sunday and then go be ratchet all week. And then, you know, you really just find yourself in a cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing the sort of like how I'm building up a knowledge base that is serving me in a way where I don't have to have those days that I used to have of like, just feeling hopeless. Like, sometimes you're going to feel like that anyway, but I just noticed that when I get a little bit more of the word, and like, let's say, like, I had a bad day on Friday or bad morning or whatever, right? And then I went and I was like looking at the word, and it was almost instantly like, oh yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, and then all the other stuff comes back.
Yep.
But if you don't have the baseline, it's like hard, and you're just out here by yourself.
It's hard, really.
You know what I'm saying? And God is still with you, but you just don't have the faith. Mm-hmm. Like, I think reading is helping me to strengthen my faith.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. Think of words that describe David in these Psalms. What else? So,
right.
31, 34, 52, what else?
With 31...
I think in 31, it says in my Amplified version that Psalm 31 is a psalm of complaint and praise.
Yeah.
Further letting me know that he was kind of confused, he was scared, but he was still, I mean, not even necessarily scared. I haven't proven that. You're saying he wasn't scared. You probably might be right. But he is really, you know, saying how God is a place of comfort and a place of refuge, and he's explaining how like weak he is, how his strength is failed, and then and what's happening to him, how people are coming after him.
Yeah.
But he's saying like, but you know what? How great are you?
Yeah.
Right? So he's really praising him. After when people are coming after you and you're praising God, like that is what a wonderful like example. Okay, so in 34 is another one of praise.
Yep.
And
34, he's praising God again.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's Psalm 34:8. They who seek, and this is 34:10. The young lions lack and grow hungry, but they who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. So he's in danger.
Yeah.
Right? And he is really just praising God.
That's it.
When the righteous cry, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles, distress and troubles. And that's 34:17. So this is so funny because I mentioned that I look at it like it's the soundtrack. And how many times have you had like a bomb record And that doesn't even have to be like a soundtrack to a movie, but like I've had certain records in my life, secular, that were like the soundtrack to my summer, right? Yeah. Or the soundtrack to my whatever. And I could just imagine him just kind of like walking around repeating these things to himself, like we repeat song lyrics to ourselves. And so it just kind of keeps you in the mode. It keeps you energetic in whatever you're doing. So I appreciate that. Okay, I think we have enough words to describe David. It's kind of like we're repeating now because he's doing the same.
He's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So now we've reached another level of Psalms of David. And these Psalms are 56, 120, 140 to 142.
Okay.
Now the question is, what personal anxieties do you have that David prayers can help quell?
What personal anxieties do I have? Man, let's talk about that. So I suffer from imposter syndrome in several areas of my life. Right? Imposter syndrome, if you don't know what that is, it's like you're showing up and you feel like you're pretending to be something that you're not, but you're doing the work, so you are, right? So like one case in point is like we recently, well, not even recently, like we've been listening to entrepreneurial stuff for a long time. We've been, you know, trying to do our work with our separate like sort of entities, like James with Fourth Quarter, he has something else on the horizon, me with my Yes I'm a Unicorn channel, and then with my podcast with my sister, those two sisters. And so this past, like most recently, like in the past month, we've been taking more training and we've been like showing up to different environments where, you know, we're learning a lot more about like honing our craft and creating content and doing all that stuff. And this is just an example because I feel like this in the gym too. I feel like this a lot of times, like sometimes with my job, sometimes when I show up and I'm trying to help somebody with something outside of work, right? It's like this imposter syndrome, like, oh man, am I good enough? Am I doing it right? Is something bad gonna happen, right? So David's prayers can help me with that because it's like you're just doing what you have to do and you're praising God. So many times, I've said this before too in my last job. So many times, like I felt like things were so like moving so quickly and like out of my control, but I would just stay in prayer and like literally something would just pop up and remind me like, oh, make sure you do this. And I would follow up with it. And I mean, this is, I mean, it had to happen like dozens, maybe even hundreds of times, right? Like, oh, you know, an idea would come to me like, oh, make sure you follow up on this. And randomly, and I would do it. And then like a day or two later, it would come up, right? Yeah. Like, oh, did we ever do this? And it's like, yep.
Yeah.
Through the grace of God, I remembered 2 days ago, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that might be something that sat for like weeks. So I feel like God orders your steps. And God puts in front of you what you need to focus on. So what personal anxieties do I have? Imposter syndrome. What that David's prayers can help quell? I'll tell you, he keeps saying this thing about how they're trying to get me. They're trying to get me, but I put my trust in you. That's a ongoing thing that he keeps saying. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. Yeah. And he's obviously just, you know, making it happen. I don't know exactly what he's doing. He's like walking through the wilderness. He went and tried to get the goats for his servants. And I know they're also fighting.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and they're winning. And he's got like a pretty small group, as I understand. So I think you just do whatever it is that you do, and he's also writing Psalms, right? So that's something that sticks out to me. It's like, I just, no matter what my anxieties are, I'm just going to keep saying, okay, God, I trust in you, and going about my business.
Yeah.
What personal anxieties do you have? That David Psalms or David's prayers can help you quell?
I'm fearful of what people think about me. Mm. Almost to the point where I'm fearful of being myself because I don't know how people are going to react. Sometimes I don't believe in myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if those are anxieties.
I would think so because it's something that's just kind of like eating away at you. Let me look up exactly. The meaning of anxiety.
Yeah.
While
you continue. Yeah, so those are a couple things. Now, what stands out to me, like verse Psalms 56, the title is In God I Trust, and it says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Now, this is 56:3-4. Psalms 56:3-4. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? So I wrote down, don't be afraid, just put your trust in God, which is tough because we're all fearful. But God just like, so you got to understand, God doesn't know what fear is. He created it, but he's not who we are. We go by fear. What else? God doesn't probably know a lot of the emotions that we go through. God, you know, I don't think God is emotion. Yeah, he doesn't. That's a human thing, right? Happy, sad. Now God is angered, and God knows about love. But those are the only two things I've seen so far that emotions that, you know, he shares with us. Most times he doesn't get fearful, you know. I don't want to say he's like, this is all made up, but he's like, this world is.
Yeah, a lot of times.
You know, I created this, and this isn't the end. Do you think this is the end? It's not. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a different being somewhere else. Mm. You know, you're not even this is just, you're gonna be like that. Life goes by like that because you're just a shell of who you really are. You're, you know, like everybody has a spirit, so there's gonna be an afterlife where you live forever, right? Whether you go here, you go down there, you go up there, but you're this isn't the final place. And we think it is, but God's like, no. Because we're small-minded. But what's the definition of anxiety?
So I got a few here. So you got apprehensive uneasiness or nervousness, usually over an impending or anticipated ill. Mentally distressing concern or interest. Mm-hmm. A strong desire sometimes mixed with doubt, fear, or uneasiness. There was one that I really liked, though. Those were from Merriam-Webster. Mm-hmm. There was one back here that, you know, when you just Google a thing, and I guess it's from, it says Oxford Languages. I don't know which dictionary it's from, but it says, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Here's why. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, all outcomes are uncertain. Even if we think they are certain, they're not, right? Like, all outcomes are uncertain. And one of my favorite quotes is, when nothing's sure, everything's possible, right? Because it's just like, okay, well, this hasn't occurred yet. Mm-hmm. So anxiety is telling you that it's going to end badly.
Yeah.
Right? But really, you don't know yet.
Nope.
And depending on what you do between now and then and how much you pray, and really, you know, God already knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I, you know, there is a verse that I was just looking up from my memory verse is, I want to say it's 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. He gave us the power, love, and a sound mind.
Yep.
Right? Now, there's different versions, because that's what I do with my memory verse. I look up a whole bunch of different versions so I can really get a good understanding of it. And I don't think that God gave us a spirit of fear. However, here's another thing that I want to just be, you know, playing both sides of. It's like, God, we should be fearful in God, because God has control over everything.
Yep.
So if God has control over everything and I'm worried about XYZ or ABC and God actually has control over that, mm-hmm. I should really just put all my focus and attention mm-hmm. on the one who controls it all.
Yep.
And then he's going to figure out ABC and XYZ, and I don't have to do all of that.
Yeah.
All I have to do is just pray to God, mm-hmm. be silent, try to hear back, see what he wants me to do, mm-hmm. and go about my business and do it. And he's going to make sure. And like, whatever ends up happening is what happens anyway. Like, I actually don't have so much control over the outcome. I can do what I can do.
Yeah.
But I really just need to stay focused on doing that and praying.
Yeah. So that requires trust.
It does, which is so hard because it's mm-hmm. one of those words that's like fluffy or something, right? Like, how can you really define what trust is? Like, because mm-hmm. part of me feels like this. I do trust God, right? Like, part of me feels like, obviously, it's a logical thing, mm-hmm. right? It's logical.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to trust God. It's like, if you ask me, do I trust God? Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's trustworthy, mm-hmm. right? But then when it gets down to it, and I'm just like biting my nails, worrying. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's not trusting God. No. But like, what is the sort of like meat and potatoes of trust, right? Mm. Is it trying to be calm?
No.
Like, what is it? If I say I trust God, but then I turn around and I'm just worried about everything anyway.
Yeah, I think it's letting go of the control. Realizing you don't control it. You can only control certain things. Right, you control when you wake up, but you can't control the things that's happening around you. I think trust is dedicating, giving up some control to God. Giving up control, that's probably the hardest thing.
Surrender,
that's hard. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna probably be working on that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, because it's
hard, it's difficult.
It's not like it's a one-time deal. Like, all right, set my trust payment in, wrap that on up.
I'm okay. It's gonna be it's gonna be situations like, oh man. But here's the thing: if we're doing what we were doing last week and we continue to be transparent here, we're going. I think the more that we read the Bible and tap in, the more that we start giving up the control because we see it. We're reading it. We're trying to live by example. And I think that if we keep reading the Bible, you start giving up that control. But that only comes if you're in it.
Yeah, I get that.
But if you're not in it, you're going to say it and then pull it back.
Yeah.
But if you keep reading, you're going to start giving it away a little bit. But I think it takes a lot of time with God.
I agree.
You got to build a good relationship with
them. And if you ever think about like the older people in our lives, like the elders who just seem to have complete like faith and trust in him,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a direct correlation of all of the life that they've lived and all of the years that they've been trusting God. So they have like their pile of proof is mm-hmm. bigger than mine. But it's like so funny because I think I was reading Hebrews 23:10. I think that's the one. And it's basically saying, lean on God, right? I'm paraphrasing here. And it's mm-hmm. like your trust, the hope that you say you have in him, mm-hmm. like show it, right? Yeah. Like, and trust him. And so it brought me to this point because I was like, yo, I do tell people that I trust God. And I do, tell my friends I'm praying mm-hmm. for, tell my sister I'm praying for, mm-hmm. and just trust God. I do tell my nephew, like, you just have to pray and trust God.
Yeah.
And so if I'm saying that to other people, if I'm saying that to YouTube, or the world, right? Like, and then I turn around and I'm like, but I don't know about this.
Man.
Like, my silly little problems. Like, that makes me such the biggest hypocrite. Yeah. And I do know. And it made me think, like, back on all the times where I was praying so hard, God, mm-hmm. please let this go right. Please let this go right. And it always has.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like the new problem that you have. Well, this one's different, but it's not.
It's not. It's not different.
It's not.
That's your mind playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
All right.
So, all right. Let's keep it moving.
So, right
now. Having a great time with you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Let's see.
So then we read 1 Samuel 25 through 27.
Yep. And this is when David marries Abigail. David spares Saul life again.
Yeah.
And then David lives among the Philistines. So we're going to break... we're going to talk about David and Abigail, which, you know... So what happens is David sends his men to help out this guy named Nabal. And the servants helped Nabal out. And then Nabal came back and he said that, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? And he said, shall I take my bread and water and my meat I have killed from my shears and give it to men who I do not know where? And he sends them off to David. Now, David strapped on his sword.
That's pretty gay, sir.
I had 400 men start riding. Now, Nabal's wife, Abigail, meets David and says, hey, here's everything. Here is everything, right? So she took 1 Samuel 25:18. Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 200 skins of wines, 5 sheep prepared, and 5 sieves of parched grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on the donkeys, and she gave them to David's servants, and then to the wilderness. And, you know, she basically convinced David not to go back and kill Nabal. He was going to go hard. I'm not going to lie, but that made me learn something about David. He's big on respect.
Yeah. We saw that in another part too. Go ahead, sorry.
Big on respect. And then he told Abigail, like, look, man, you're blessed. Let the Lord take care of it. And so he did. And then what happened was Nabal had a feast in his house and he got drunk. And he was happy. He was very drunk. So in the morning, Abigail says, I gave all this to David. And it says, 1 Samuel 25:37, in the morning when the wine had gone out on the ball, means he sobered up, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and died. So what I got from that is, let the Lord fight your battles.
Right.
Because I think what happened was David was about to go hard.
Yeah.
But then Abigail showed compassion and she said, let the Lord fight. And he said, okay, I'll let the Lord take care of it. And what happened with Nabal, I think, number one, I don't think he was healthy. And I think when she told him that, it was so shocking that he had a heart attack or a stroke. Because of what Abigail did.
Right, because she went and gave the rations or whatever it was.
And anyway. Then, yeah, and then what I got from it, sometimes some people are just going to be evil. Just some people are going to be mean. You know? That's what I got out of that.
Yeah, and you can't necessarily act as they did, right? Because, just kind of recapping here.
Mm-hmm.
David had hooked Nabal's folks up. Like, mm-hmm. Nabal had folks mm-hmm. near David's camp, mm-hmm. and he made sure that they were safe. He made sure they were good. Fed. So then when he called mm-hmm. back in a favor, like, hey, Nabal, let me, you know, I know you got a lot.
Yeah.
Can we get a little bit so we can feed our folks? Yeah. And then Nabal comes back with the okey-doke, like, nah, I don't see why that's a good idea. So now David's ready to ride or die. Like, David's like, and that was in Samuel 25, mm-hmm. 21, where he breaks down. So, 1 Samuel 25:21, he's like, "Surely in vain I've protected and guarded all this man has had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing, and nothing that missing of that that belonged to him, and he has repaid me evil for good." Right? So then he gets his stuff together when his servants came back and said that Nabal wasn't giving them anything, and he was ready to go down there and kill
400 men.
And I think
David is a warrior too, guys.
Here's the thing. He's not no slouch. So here's the thing, though. He was going to react to Nabal's reaction with what he felt was an appropriate reaction. And so many times, right? This is like an interesting point, because so many times I'm compelled to do that as well. Yeah. Right? Like somebody, you do something that you feel like is disrespectful to you, right? And then it's just like, well, let me show them, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't actually need to be like them. Mm-mm. You can just do what, you know, just go about your way and know that, okay, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? And then Abigail came and made it right anyway.
Yep.
And I really feel like he said in 1 Samuel 25:32, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me this day. Mm-hmm. And blessed be your discretion and discernment." So he's like, you kept bloodshed from happening this day. Mm-hmm. And she was basically making the point that, like, I don't want this blood on your hands, right? Because if you do this, then you're not going to be as favorable in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And that's what we see, too. Kind of leading up to this, in a lot of the stories, it's like people do things and God still loves them and he's still going to, you know, keep them, but some of their blessings fall away, right? Like, oh, now
favor with the Lord.
You lose favor. And it's like, if you do those things, you can still survive them, but you're losing favor. Like, now I can't really, you know, bring you, like what happened with Moses. All right, Moses, well, now I can't bring you in the promised land.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it happens. We've seen it with a couple of people where, you know, humans are flawed. We're all flawed.
We're flawed,
but it's like, you have a decision, right? And they did these things, and now we have the proof of this through the word, so now we can learn from that and say, oh, somebody already had a situation like this. Let's see what they did and what happened to them, right? So now we have this to be able to make better decisions from. So, anyway, sorry. What was the question? I apologize.
You didn't even say the question.
Good.
No. David spares Saul's life again, where he goes into Saul's camp and takes his spear when Saul's sleeping. David could have killed Saul again, but he spares him. And he makes sure it's known, like, hey, I spared your life. And, you know, Saul was like, basically David was saying, how can I kill somebody that's been anointed by the Lord? And people forget that. Saul was. The people chose Saul.
Yeah.
And God said, here, he's king. This is documented.
Comparison. Oh, gosh. Oh, I'll let you finish.
This is documented, right? So, but, you know, Saul was chosen by the people. David was chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though, that's why he's saying Saul's appointed. Like, man, he's appointed by the Lord, so I'm not going to kill him. You know? I'm going to show him some compassion. And then Saul left him alone again. But David still has to live among the Philistines, because he knows in his heart Saul's going to come at him again, because he's tried to kill him so many times.
Yeah.
Tried to kill him so many times. So he's like, I gotta get out of here. All right, what were you about to say?
I was gonna say, we had this conversation earlier about comparison is the killer of joy.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me just now that, like, I remember, it must have been in Judges, I can't remember, when they appointed Saul.
Yeah.
And they were like, the people were like, we want a king like the other, you know, people, right? Like, mm-hmm. we need a king because all the other people who are on the earth have a king.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like, why are you looking at that? Like, God is your king. Like, you're different than them. So, like, you should just be grateful for what you have. But, okay. You know what I'm saying? God is going to follow the order that he puts out there. Yeah. And he's given us a choice. So, he's going to, you know, let us do what we choose to do.
And God and Samuel told them. He said, if you do this, the king is going to take your rations.
Mm.
He's going to send y'all to war. And they were like, we don't care. I remember that.
That's wild. So anyway.
All right, here's the question. I have to look this up because David is gathering a depth of character. Name some specific virtues that he's learning. So
ooh,
I got to
okay,
look up
so
virtue.
Then what is virtue? Oh, excuse
this
me.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm going to cheat here. Not cheat, but just go off of memory. I know they say patience is a virtue.
Yeah.
Right? So I think he is learning patience because he keeps going through this with Saul, right? Like he had this happen to him before he left the first time when he was with Saul's son, which I can't remember what Saul's son name is right now. But when he was hanging out with Saul's son and Saul's son was like, yo, you need to go because they're trying to kill you. And he left the first
time.
Okay. Thank you. When he left the first time, you know, he's been through this before. And then Saul came into a cave and Dave was in a cave. And while he was like relieving himself or whatever, David mm-hmm. was like, he could have killed him then. Mm-hmm. Now he's back out in the wilderness. He keeps fighting a good fight. Mm-hmm. He keeps, you know, going through this. And I would say that he's learning patience because mm-hmm. it's like, it still is not the case that they're not trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. And then he's also, I don't know if this is a virtue, but I think he's learning to call discernment because he's like, even though Saul is now saying here in 1 Samuel 26:21, it says, then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you again because my life was precious in your sight this day. And after that, David's like, I'm going to be I'm going to be on my way. Like, I can't trust you.
Yeah.
So if he's learning that discernment, I think, I don't know if discernment is a virtue, but I know patience is a virtue. So I'm mm-hmm. going to cheat with that one. Now, what's the definition of virtue? Have you found it?
Yeah.
What is a virtue?
It is the behavior showing high moral standards, like similar goodness, righteousness, morality, uprightness, integrity, dignity, rectitude, honesty, honor, probability, respectability, nobility, worthiness, worth, good, trustworthiness. Of course, we know patience, uh-huh. purity, merit, principles, ethics. What's the best definition? Conformity to a standard of right. This is saying, what is the Bible's definition of virtue? Virtue is viewed as an habitual capacity of a person to respond freely and consciously to situations in a manner that reflects and intensifies his conformity to Jesus Christ.
Okay, that was a lot of words, but I did bring it back to the idea that, like, to be more like Jesus, right? Yeah. And to be having honor and integrity, like, all those things kind of go together.
Yeah.
And I remember a saying, I think my mother used to say this, like, everybody knows the difference between right and wrong. Even the people who are doing wrong, they know they're doing wrong. They're just like, I'm just going to go ahead and do wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not that you don't know that you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And most people do know. Right, even if they lie about it,
mm-hmm.
that the difference between right and wrong, and so virtue is doing what's right.
Yeah,
doing what's right and trying to be more like Jesus.
So, okay, what virtue do you think he showed when he didn't kill Nabal?
I think he showed honor.
Yeah.
Because he gave Abigail thanks.
Yeah.
And he said, thank you for handling this for me. And I'm going to honor you and your efforts by turning away.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
And he, you know, it wasn't like, here's another thing. It wasn't, and people misuse this all the time, like the eye for the eye thing. It's like he was going to go and kill, but nobody had killed him.
Nobody.
They just denied him stuff. Yeah, they just denied him. And look, he, on the flip side of that, Nabal was not honoring, right, their deal, because David had explained how we just took care of all your folks. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened to none of your stuff and none of your people under my watch, on my watch. And now I'm turning around and I need a favor from you. And you're acting like, you know, I didn't just help you. Mm-hmm. And so that dishonor, or he probably took it a dishonor, disrespect.
Yeah.
That dishonor was not met with more dishonor.
Yeah.
He instead honored Abigail's efforts and said, okay. Right? Because, I mean, I guess honor, or I guess, you know, the tit for tat would have been, he just goes and takes the stuff anyway. And that would have been theft.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not a virtue.
Yeah.
Virtue is what's honorable, as I understand it now.
Yeah.
So, I think, okay, but since, what is he learning?
Yeah.
What virtues is he learning?
I think he learned honor. Because he was about to go hard.
Yeah, he was.
Right? And I think with Saul... Right? I think what he learned when he didn't strike down Saul, I think because of what happened with Nabal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the integrity he learned. Because when I say integrity, right? So integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral a brightness. The integrity of not killing Saul, knowing Saul wanted to kill him because the Lord appointed him.
Yeah.
I think that is a virtue that he learned by not killing Saul.
Mm-hmm. Like, right, because I could have,
but I'm going to have some integrity.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got one more question.
Yep. So this is the Psalms of David again. And it's 17, 35, 54, and 63. And these are... Here's a question. David was not afraid to reason with God when he wants something. What are some examples? Let me see.
He's praying for rescue from his enemies.
Yeah.
And so he is basically saying he has done all these things. He's humbled his soul with fasting. He behaved as if he were grieving for his brother. And he's calling out these people.
Yeah.
So he's asking, don't let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me.
Yeah.
So I guess what he's saying is, if I'm going to do this and be righteous, right, will you please not make me look like a fool or something like this, right?
Yeah.
And one part that I thought was interesting in 35:17, I highlighted this. He said, Lord, how long will you look on without action? That's in the Amplified version.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a daring thing to say to God, because you don't know what action he's going to take.
Yeah.
And what's funny is we all feel like this, like when we have a problem, we need an answer right away.
Yeah.
Right? Like the deadline is now. It's yesterday. Yeah. Like I need an answer right away. And a lot of times it's not really that urgent, but we just feel like, oh, well, I'm suffering now, so it's an emergency, right? And, you know, some things are urgent, but a lot of things aren't, and we just want it right now, right now, right now. So when I highlighted that, I was thinking that to myself. It's like, Lord, how long will you look on without action? Like, how many times do you say that, right? It happens to me at work all the time. When somebody wants something, it's like they want it right now.
Like, hey, how long on this flight?
I just found out about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just emailed me 3 minutes ago.
So, it's like, no hate, no shade. Love my coworkers.
Yeah.
But that's not even the case. It's like, I think it's more so about whatever your personal issue is, you just want the resolution, and we're so fickle about the trust that we don't just say, oh, I don't have it right now, but I know God's going to get it.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, the only way I'll know that it's covered is if it's covered right now.
Yeah.
So I can see it.
Yeah.
right?
I agree.
I kind of went off on a tangent there. Yeah. But
so I think with this one in 17, he says, "Keep me as an apple in your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me." This is Psalm 17:8-9. And then he says in number 13, basically with his enemies, he says, "Arise, O Lord, confront him and subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from the men by your hand, O Lord." Basically, like, I got these enemies out here. I need you to take care of them for me.
Right.
You know? Like, but see, you said something and you were like, man, he's bold to ask from God. Well, that's the relationship.
Yeah.
That's the trust. Like, if you, it's a give and take. Like, hey, I surrender to you, but because I surrender to you, I need these things. And I know you're going to deliver because this is what you promised me.
Another thing that I'm noticing too in 35:27, mm-hmm. and then again in Psalm 54. Mm-hmm. Well, so in 35:27, mm-hmm. he's saying, "Let you know the people who are against him. Mm-hmm. Let them." Well, this is 26. "Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor in my vindication mm-hmm. and want what is right for me." Right? So he's making a distinction from 26 to 27. "The people who want good for me, let them have rejoicing. And the people who want bad for me, let them be dishonored." Mm-hmm. But in 27, he goes on to say, "Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who delights and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Mm-hmm. And then 28, he says, "And my tongue shall declare your righteousness and praise in your praise all the day long." So he's kind of reasoning with God and saying, like, hey, please give me this. Mm-hmm. Please honor your word, mm-hmm. and I'll always praise you. And your praises will be continually in my mouth forever. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell everybody how amazing you are. So that's kind of like reasoning. It's like, please, mm-hmm. God, I know you're going to deliver this. I know you're going to honor your word. Please do this immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Please do this so that I can do this. If you do this, I'm going to praise you forever and a day. Like, I'm never going to say, mm-hmm. God didn't help me, because he's always there. In Psalm 54, mm-hmm. he says, in Psalm 54:4, "Behold, God is my helper and ally. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul, my upholder." Mm-hmm. 5, "He pays back the evil to my enemies, and your faithfulness destroyed them." And then he says in 6, "With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good." So he's saying, I'm giving a free will offering, mm-hmm. right? He's calling on the word of God. Mm-hmm. He's like, here's what I'm going to do, mm-hmm. right? Because I know you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, the reasoning is that I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to praise your name. Mm-hmm. I just need you to do this for me.
Yeah. Because I'm righteous and praise your name, I need this.
Yeah.
You know? And then the last thing in 63, Psalm 63, verse 9. And 10 and 11. He says, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be portion of jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped." Once again, like, you know, take care of my enemies for me. Because I'm praising you.
Because I'm righteous.
I'm giving you, I'm seeking you. The first verse of 63 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you." I'm giving you everything I have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving you my soul. You know, I'm praising you. Because the God doesn't connect with our flesh. And I said this in a reading. God connects with our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what David says. So that's what I think.
It's so interesting. I got to just double back on that one point, because it's like, you know, not that God doesn't help everybody, but because mm-hmm. you're righteous and mm-hmm. because because you have a heart after God, this is David I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. When you're righteous and you're doing what God has told you to do, and this is the same David that mm-hmm. beat Goliath, this is the same David that said, like, oh, God is so strong. Like, mm-hmm. y'all don't talk bad about God. Mm-hmm. How dare y'all let this person come in here and talk about my God, mm-hmm. right? And talk about our God. Mm-hmm. So it's like, when you're that person, then, and you have that relationship, mm-hmm. then you can call on God like this, mm-hmm. right? Not to say that you can't. Mm-hmm. When you're not, but when you're not this person, you wouldn't even think to, because
you don't even know if God is listening.
You don't even really know. You don't have the faith, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, of course you wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. But this person knows that, like, God, mm-hmm. I'm doing everything you said. And so mm-hmm. that means, you know what I'm saying, that this is going to happen for me.
Yeah.
So I'm calling on that. And that's really interesting, because I think it does speak to something that leads to integrity, like that leads to a virtue, which is, you know that you don't have the right to do certain things, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you know that you didn't, you know, let's say, you know, just using this as an example, not like this has happened in anything recently, but like, let's say we go to one of those movie theaters where you pay for your seats ahead of time, mm-hmm. and somebody's sitting in your seat, or you're at a game or a concert or something, and you go up to your seats that you pay for, mm-hmm. and somebody's sitting there. They're not necessarily going to argue with you, because they know that those aren't their seats,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's kind of like an example like that, because if you know you did something, like, you know you deserve this, mm-hmm. you're going to come and you're going to stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I pay for these seats, I'm going to come and I'm going to show you. Like, yeah. Hey, listen, you know these aren't your seats. Look at my tickets. Right? And so I think being righteous and being prayerful and being, you know, just having a desire to please God, mm-hmm. is your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's your ticket to say, hey, God, remember? Like, yeah. Please help me.
Yeah.
So
it's your ticket, and it's the relationship.
Mm,
mm, mm. That relationship, man.
It is. It's real. Wow. Yeah. That's really interesting. So that was where we are. Next week, we're going to read mm-hmm. 1 Samuel 28 through 31. Mm-hmm. We're going to read Psalm 18. Then mm-hmm. we're going to read, oh, man. I'm going to tweet all of this, too. I don't know if I'm going to tweet it. I'm not another way. Psalms 121, 123 through 125, 128 through 130. Then we're going to read 2 Samuel 1 through 4. And lastly, we're going to read Psalms 6, 8 through 10, 14, 16, 19, and 21. And so the next time we come back to you, we'll have those read, and we'll be talking about those. But I had a great time getting back into our schedule of reading, and I literally had a great week, and I don't think it's, you know, any other reason other than what we said in the beginning, like just the reading, being able to connect with God in the morning. It just sets my whole day up for success. And so, do you want to give any shout outs this week?
Back into it, I'm going to say, I'm always shout out Fourth Quarter. I'm going to shout out Isaac, of course. Please like, comment, subscribe. We're going to actually start posting more. So we're going to be more consistent with that. And shout out to Fourth Quarter. It's a show where it's from the fans' perspective. And, you know, it's just me and my friends talking about the sports we love, man, and how we feel about, you know, it's not mainstream. It's just something that you can connect or relate to. I'm going to shout out Yes, I'm a Unicorn, my wife's planner channel. I also want to shout out those two sisters. And I got a project coming soon. Don't worry. But I want to shout out those two sisters. I think they're taking it to another level. And I think y'all should start tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got some stuff brewing over there.
Yeah.
So those are my shout outs.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, you took one of my shout outs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two of them. But yeah, Just Me Unicorn. That's where I'm doing my planner thing, and I'm stepping my game up. Those two sisters, I'll shout out Miss Demita Joe, who is my wonderful sister, half mm-hmm. of those two sisters. And this is like an unconventional shout out. Like, nothing we do right now is sponsored. So just to let you know, but like, I just want to give a shout out to Tabitha Brown, just for always being like a shining light. She has some products that she just released with Ulta, and I think she has another line at Target that's like cookware.
I just saw that today.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to head on over to Target, but I did get her daughter's recipe products from Ulta, and they are phenomenal. I got the... It's like sweet potato scented, but it smells like vanilla cookies to me. Anyway, I love the stuff. The shampoo is so great and creamy. I used it yesterday. I used the leave-in conditioner and the hair oil and the cream. So shout out to Tabitha Brown just for being a shining, bright light. Yes. And, you know, she always just has something positive to put out there. And so I love me some Tabitha Brown, and I support everything she does.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go out to Target. I'm gonna see, you know, what she has on that front. But yeah, that's my shout out. And obviously, you know, we thank you very much for tuning in again. Yep. We have a lot coming for you this year, and we're just grateful
that
you're joining us.
Y'all have a good week. Alright.
And remember, don't take our word for it. Go to the source.
Read your Bible. Alright, guys.
Bye. Peace.